We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So here's what I want you to do, if you will. I'm going to do something that I rarely, if ever, do. I think Jill can attest, I probably never have done this. But I'm only going to do it if you promise not to check out on me just because I'm starting off this way. So you're going to promise to not check out. Say yes. Yes, okay, good. That was not enthusiastic, but I'll have to do. I'm going to give you the punchline of the sermon at the very beginning. All right? Are you ready for it? This is the sermon. This is what you have to know. Ready? God is not finished with you yet. Say that with me. God is not finished with you yet. Now, I don't want you to stand up. I want you to turn to the person next to you, wag their finger in your finger in their face, and remind them, God is not finished with you yet. Go ahead. Do that. Smile. Okay, go ahead. That should be it. So we're going to read this morning from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Listen for these words. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of Jesus Christ. As you know, Philippians is my favorite book in the New Testament. It is rich, it is deep with meaning. But there's a lot of things about it I didn't always understand. Like when I first read this passage, I had all sorts of questions, right? And the first question that popped into my head was, what is Paul talking about? What is the prize? What is the goal? Well, I finally found it. You have to go up to verse 10 to find it. This is what verse 10 says. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ. That's Paul's goal. That's the prize, to know Christ. Now, what we have to understand, the word that Paul uses for know is this Greek word, genesko. Say that with me. That means to know in Greek. However, it doesn't mean to just know. It's not about knowing stuff. For example, I can turn to Bill, and I can ask Bill, the capital of California, and he will answer, Sacramento, because he knows that.
Yeah.
Good job. I would have said whatever you said would have been correct. He knows that. That's head stuff. But does Bill know Sacramento? Bill's never been to Sacramento. He doesn't know it. He knows it. Doesn't know it. See, to know something in the term that Paul uses is to know it through experience. It's not about the head, it's about the heart. It's about understanding that. I can know all about Jill, but until I experience that relationship with her, I don't know it. So what Paul is saying is, I know about Jesus. I know about the resurrection, but I want to experience that for myself. Now, what amazes me about that, this is the second question, is what the heck? You know, Paul had been a Christian for 30 years when he wrote this letter. And I'm thinking, if he doesn't know Jesus by 30 years, then there is no hope for me. I mean, this is Paul. 30 years he's been following Jesus. Probably the greatest preacher that ever walked the earth. And he wants to know, what more is there to know? And then it finally hit me. See, Paul believed there was that Jesus was so big that as much as Paul knew about Jesus, he was only scratching the surface, and that he wanted to know more. And what I love about that, because here is Paul, 30 years following Jesus. He could have easily said, I've got it down. I know what I'm doing. I know this Jesus, right? I'm good. It's all downhill from here. But Paul says, I'm not going to settle. I want to know more. I want to feel more. I want to experience more. Because here's the secret. Here's the punchline. Paul understood that God isn't finished with him yet. And so he says, I have to know more. Now, the problem is, not all of us are like that. In fact, I'm willing to bet that a lot of us in the room this morning, well, a lot of us have already decided to settle. A lot of us have said, well, you know, I've been coming to church. I know this Jesus. I don't have to know anymore. We settle for what we have. I know too many people in the faith who have decided to quit trying to know more. See, they believe that they've arrived, and the rest of it is all kind of downhill from here. And what happens when you approach it that way, your heart just begins to shrivel up and dry up. And I wish I could tell you it was an age thing, but it has nothing to do with your age. I know a bunch of old geezers who are in their 20s, right? They hit their peak at 14, and it's all downhill from there, right? They're still there. And then I know people 75 and 80, 85, 90, older than Cox, if that's possible, and I can't keep up with them today because they want to know more. They want to experience more, because they know God isn't finished with them yet. Now, if you were paying attention when I read the scripture, what I read was, but this one thing I do. Problem is, in the original language, the I do's not there. It's implied. The reason why we put it in English is for all the grammar Nazis, who would have been upset that the sentence didn't sound right, and so we put, but this one thing I do. But really, if you read the original language, Paul just said, because one thing. Now, he didn't write it like this, because one thing, but one thing. What he wrote was with emphasis, and in Greek, you use different words for a different emphasis. And what he said was, but one thing I do. There was this intensity. There was this focus that Paul was driven on this one thing, to know Christ, to know the power of the resurrection. That focus, that intensity, it's the focus. And the problem with a lot of us is we don't have that focus. Now, some of you are going to have to get your phones out and Google this, because you're going to think I'm lying, and I'm fine with that. So in the year 2000, Microsoft did a study, and they realized, you guys remember this, you've heard it, right? Right? They realized that the average attention span of an adult is 12 seconds. They pay attention, right? That's in 2000. 15 years later, right, they did the same study, and they learned that the average attention span didn't go up, it went down, and in 2015, the average attention span was
8 seconds.
I want them here every week. I love you guys. Okay, now wait for it. So a group of scientists studied goldfish. And they discovered that the average attention span of a goldfish is
9 seconds.
Which means what? Hey, up here, already lost some of you. I know, that was 8 seconds. which means we've got to focus more. We got to live with that same, bless you, with that same intensity and focus that Paul did, to where that the only thing that matters is knowing Christ, knowing the power of the resurrection. And that's what Paul was about. But one thing. Now, Paul was a preacher. And so his one thing had three subpoints. That's what preachers do, right? And so what Paul said, one thing, but one thing I do, next, forget what lies behind me. What Paul is saying is, I got to forget what's back there. And then he says, straining forward. And I've got to look forward to the future God has promised me. And then I have to get on it right now. I can't just sit around and expect all of that to happen. The problem for a lot of us is we can't let go of our past. I mean, we can't. We look at what we've done in the past, and maybe we made a huge mistake. Maybe we blew it, and we think, well, God is done with me. God can't use me. I have had people tell me that I have messed up so much that there is no way God can use me. And Paul says we have to forget the past. He doesn't say we don't learn from it. But there's a difference between facing our past and living in our past. Way too many of us can't get past our past. And we think because we made mistakes, we're out of the game. Remember the punchline of the sermon? God isn't finished with you yet. See, what Paul says, what Paul knows, what Paul understands, it's all about experiencing and trusting God's grace. And because Paul could do that, he didn't worry about his past holding him back. So he was then able to look forward to the future that God had planned for him. And now what's amazing about that, where was Paul when he wrote this letter?
Prison.
Someone say prison, thank you. He was in jail, he was in chains, he was in prison. He is facing a certain execution, right? And Paul writes, but I know God has a future for me. That's because he trusted God's grace. And so he presses on to the prize of knowing Christ more. Now, this is really interesting, I think, but then, you know, I dig on Greek. The word Paul uses for press on, he uses in verse 6. But we translate the same word for as press on in verse 13 as verse 6 we translate it to mean persecuted. Well, what the word really means is to hunt down, to chase after, to have be in relentless pursuit. So what Paul is saying here very intentionally, he said, in my old life, that's what I did. I hunted down. I chased after. I was in relentless pursuit of anyone who claimed to follow Jesus. That's what I did. I persecuted them. But now, in my new life, I am the one who is chasing after Jesus. I am hunting Jesus down. I am pursuing him relentlessly so that I can get the prize of knowing him more. Now, we have to understand, Paul isn't trying to earn this. You can't work hard enough to make this happen. In the United Methodist Church, those of you who are Methodists, you know this word. If you don't, then you didn't have a good preacher. The word prevenient grace is essential to understanding Wesleyan theology. Prevenient grace literally means the grace that comes before. But what it really means is that before you even knew it, God had hold of you. Before you even knew who God was, he was chasing you. He caught you. He was after you. He was the hound of heaven. He wasn't going to stop until he got you. That's prevenient grace. And Paul says, because of that, I've got to know him more. I've got to experience him more. Not out of guilt, not out of obligation, not to earn it, but because Paul understood that God isn't finished with him, and he had to press on. Now, let me warn you, though, if you decide this is what you want to do with your life, it will change everything. If you decide that the one thing you must do is to press on so that you can know Christ, it's going to change everything. It's going to change the way you handle your finances. It's going to change the way you treat your neighbor. It's going to change what you do in school. It's going to change how you act on the golf course. It's going to change how you act at work. It's going to change everything about you. When you make Jesus your goal, when you make that the prize, it changes you. And when you do that, you just know that he is right here. In bad times that you go through, you know you don't go through them alone, that he is right there. In the good times, you know he is right there. When you mess up and he forgives you, you can sense it. And if you've ever tasted that, then you're going to be just like Paul. You're going to want more. But this one thing I do, forget what is behind me. Well, for some of you, that's some of us, that's real hard. And it may not be something you did. More often than not, something that was done to you. You were hurt, you were betrayed, you were abused. Someone who was supposed to love you abandoned you. Someone who was supposed to not hurt you beat you. Someone who you're supposed to trust with your life lied to you. And you have these scars, and you have this wound, and you really start believing that you're broken beyond repair, that no one can love you, especially God. If that's where you are, can I just say this so you understand it? That's not what Jesus said. It's not what the Bible says. That's not what Paul says, because Paul says God isn't finished with you yet. And then for some, it's that you're struggling with this sin, and you might have been struggling with it. I don't know what it is. You might have been struggling with it for some time now, right? And you think, well, I can't. God can't, because look what I did. Marty, if you only knew. Can I stop you again? Because that's not what Jesus says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God isn't finished with you yet. And then there are some of us, Well, heck, we've been in church. We've heard this story. We've heard this sermon before. It is old. And it goes in one ear and out the other. Because why? Because, well, we've just quit. We're stuck. We've just quit living it. We just think we know it all, right? Can I tell you something about that? God isn't finished with you yet. You see, God isn't finished with you until you breathe your last here. And the one thing you do is to press on to the goal, to know Christ and his resurrection. I'm going to ask that you stand for a moment. Can we do this? Do I have time, Matt? I'm good. And here's what I want you to do. I want to read this together, but here's the deal, okay? If you don't feel this, I don't want you to read it. You stand there and mouth it. If this isn't your prayer, if this isn't how you want to start trying to live, then I'd rather you just not even read it, because I'd rather you wait till you're ready. Because I'm telling you, man, you read this, you make this your prayer, you make this your desire, it will change you. It will mess you up, because it changes everything about you. Beloved, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow. You're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.